It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna.
What is up, everybody? Wednesday, September 29th, 7:30. The Staple Show, the live show, Shout, a Buffalo Bills football podcast brought to you by Pops Friendly Markets, your neighborhood store with more. Whether you're celebrating at home or away, this weekend, Tops has all your fan favorites ready to enjoy for football and occasion. Make sure you head over to Tops Friendly Markets this weekend. The Bills hosting the Houston Texans, Ryan Talbot. We're not going to get too much into that. So maybe some early thoughts. We're going to kind of put a bow on, you know, what we went back and watched with the Washington football team this past Sunday, the Bills' dominant victory. We're going to talk a little bit about Josh Allen. I want to get into this offensive line a little bit. We can also get to the defense, because one thing I've noticed too, looking on social media, seems to think that there's some contempt, for lack of a better word, for Tremaine Edmonds. I think that there might be a little bit of a disconnect there. I think we could get into him a little bit, but a lot of different things. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that conversation, because you're right. Everyone's praising Matt Milano, and rightfully so. He's been outstanding, playing an all-pro level through the first three games. But there's also been a lot of bashing on Tremaine Edmonds and little things that fans are kind of noticing on given plays. So I think that's a good conversation to have tonight, Matt.
Yeah, we put out a little mailbag question on Twitter. So we got some fun topics from there that we'll hit as we go throughout the podcast. But, you know, the big news of the week, or of the day, I should say, the last, Josh Allen named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. I don't know if there was a lot of drama around it after he went for five touchdowns against the Washington football team. And, you know, one trend that continued, Ryan, in that game, I'm doing a story on Stephon Diggs. We talked to him today. I asked him, Emmanuel Sanders had a huge game. Cole Beasley had a huge game. You know, three straight games now where it's just been, you know, under 100 yards for Stephon Diggs, something that, you know, happened a couple times last year, three game stretches where with no 100 yard games, but it never got to a fourth. So I kind of wanted to see where his head was at. And he was like, listen, I'm not pressing. I'm not worried. When it's my time to shine, I'm going to shine. Don't get it twisted. But there's so many players now on this team that can make plays, like we saw for Josh on Sunday, everywhere he went. Dawson Knox being a reliable target. And, you know, Stephon Diggs called him a country boy today and had some fun with him a little bit like that. But, you know, he emphasized the athletic traits that we've talked about with Knox over and over again. If Dawson Knox is going to be that guy that we saw on Sunday consistently, this offense goes to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, you mentioned Dawson Knox. There's Cole Beasley. There's Emmanuel Sanders, who's been unbelievable. And the run game. This run game through three games looks a lot better than it did throughout last season, minus maybe that first Patriots game where they leaned on the run. So there's been a lot of offensive talent, a lot of offensive output. And if these guys keep performing, the players around Diggs, like you said, his time to shine will be coming. There'll be less pressure on him, maybe less attention given to him, especially the way Sanders has been playing. Beasley, you know, he's high up there in terms of the league leaders in receptions. So, the ball will eventually get to Diggs. He's going to put up some big stats here sooner rather than later, in my opinion. Wouldn't be shocked if one of those big games comes this weekend.
he was talking about some of the things the teams are doing right now, Stephon did. And I think this just kind of goes in line with what I want to talk about as a takeaway from the Washington game. They only blitzed 5 times, Ryan, the Washington football teams. That's even less than Pittsburgh did in week one. I think they ended up blitzing 7 or 8 times, maybe 6 times in the kind of same ballpark. Now, Miami was in the double digits, but they're a little bit more of an aggressive style. I think even though they wanted to be careful and get things, you know, situated in their coverage packages, you know, they still tend to send more pressure with Flores. So I wasn't surprised to see that discrepancy. But we saw, you know, if teams are going to, you know, rely on that pass rush against Josh Allen most of the time, I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers had a lot of success in week one. He's chic. What he's able to do when he's able to get into his drop back, climb the pocket, evade the pocket, and kind of play, you know, bumper cars back there, you know, a little bit, you know, just, you know, dipping and diving out of the way of traffic. And Diggs says he's noticed that, you know, teams are trying to take him away. And when they do that, well, then you got Emmanuel Sanders, who showed and proved without a shadow of a doubt on Sunday. You do that to my buddy Diggs and I'm going to beat you. I'm going to make scoring plays. I'm going to get first downs. I'm going to play a physical brand of style. And I almost feel like in a weird way, the Bills might have stumbled onto something that when Diggs is taken out of a game, you go back to Kansas City last year, he ended up with what, 5 catches, 6 catches for 77 yards. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs were able to limit him in that game. And I almost feel like maybe that's where the blueprint started, you know, how to attack this Bills offense, this passing game. Well, now you take him away. There's not a passive John Brown on the other side that you can maybe get physical with and take out of the game. You got a guy in Emmanuel Sanders who's going to be almost like the light version of Stephon Diggs. And, you know, he's producing at a high level right now.
Yeah, and then that's the perfect answer for what the problem was at the end of last year. You have Emmanuel Sanders who's producing 2 games in a row that he's catching balls down the field from Josh Allen, but he's just been a reliable target altogether. You'll still have Cole Beasley in the slot. You mentioned Dawson Knox already. So when they try to take away your best weapon, it's up to the Bills to find those other players and Josh Allen to find those other guys. And listen, you know, the blueprint that Pittsburgh used in week one, Washington had the talent up front to get the job done. But when you look at the rest of the schedule, the rest of the year, there's very few teams where I feel like if you look all the way across that defensive line can match up in terms of the talent level of the Pittsburghs of the world, the Washingtons of the world. So I think eventually teams are going to have to get away from that. We're just going to go with our top 4 guys up front, not going to send any heat. Some other teams have to send heat. They just don't have the talent up front that Pittsburgh has, that Washington has. So it's going to be really interesting to see throughout the year.
And part of that, too, is you're getting reps, you're getting live game reps against that strategy. And so over time, I feel like Brian Daboll is going to make adjustments to that. Josh Allen's going to get more comfortable playing in that. And you can almost see a little bit of that going back and watching that Washington game. He was going through his reads a little bit crisper. He seemed a little bit more, you know, read to read, more deliberate with the ball. He got the ball out of his hands quicker. I mean, there was a couple plays where it was just like, bang, bang, bang. And you could just see the look on his face in between plays where he walked up to the line of scrimmage. And you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. This is happening at a quicker rate, and I'm starting to see things that maybe he was missing early on.
Yeah, and you know, there's one throw that comes to mind, and it wasn't anything spectacular. It was a 4-yard throw to Cole Beasley where he rifled this pass in between 2 defenders. So he is realizing, okay, I might have to get the ball a little bit faster on this drop back. I'm going to trust my guy to win those matchups. I'm going to trust my arm strength to squeeze those passes in. That touchdown to Emmanuel Sanders in the back of the end zone. Watching it live, you didn't appreciate maybe just how hard of a pass that was in terms of the defenders around him. You know, Allen has that right mix of smarts and intelligence and arm talent to win. So it's starting to come together. And like you said, getting these live reps against teams that are trying to take out Stephon Diggs, well, one, it's going to give Brian Daboll and company some opportunities to figure out how to unleash Diggs despite other teams trying to do that. But it's also going to get that trust developed in these other receivers on this team.
Good question here from Scott Blakely. Shout out to Sarah Holland, who is in the chat for you guys tonight. But he's asking about the health of Gabriel Davis. And I think that that's definitely a topic that we can discuss here. You know, Gabriel Davis snap count in the last 2 games has been, you know, it's been kind of eye popping a little bit. Him and Dawson Knox were at about 40-ish snaps apiece in week one. I think Gabriel Davis outsnapped him. And then now the last 2 weeks, as he's dealing with that ankle injury, you know, Dawson Knox is, I think he got 72 snaps last game or 62 snaps. I can't remember now off the top of my head. I'll go back and look at the stats. But, you know, he's looking better. Let me get a, let me see if I can bring this up on the screen. Jordan Poyer did not practice today. He's still dealing with the ankle injury that he suffered the other day. And then veteran rest days today for Cole Beasley, Mario Addison. And there was one more, Ryan. Which one was it?
Vet rest was also for Tywan Jones.
But what are your thoughts on Gabriel Davis and maybe where he stands in this offense now that they've kind of established something here? And there was a question that came in on this from our buddies at the Air Raid Hour over on Buffalo Fanatics that I want to get into in a minute. I'll bring it in a second. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, first, the last game, not this upcoming or this game against Washington, but the last game, he was still really banged up. I don't want to call him a game time decision because that's not the case, but I feel like he was almost more of a decoy in that Miami game. Fast forward to this week, I think he was getting healthier. He had a big third down conversion early in the game. Then you really didn't hear much from him again for the rest of the game, in fact. I think that when that ankle is 100%, you might see that snap count between Dawson Knox and Gabriel Davis be close to a 50-50 split. There might be some weeks where they like the tight end matchup better, or there might be some weeks where you want to change your personnel. So, you know, this is the beauty of it. When you have so many weapons, it's a good problem to have, but there's going to be weeks where guys kind of disappear off the stat sheet where they maybe don't get the kind of reps that you want, and I get it. Davis is one of your younger guys, showed a lot of promise last year with 7 touchdowns. You really want to see his game grow. But right now, the Bills are thinking Super Bowl. They want to get the best personnel out there on a given week. And when someone's banged up, you know, that's going to limit your snaps in any case, no matter who you are.
So looking at the question from Judge Mathis and Tilton, Tilt Money, Dave Tilton. They do that on Buffalo Fanatics, good buddies. UB alum, Judge Mathis, so in our fantasy league. I don't know if I played him yet this year, but I never even talked trash to you, Ryan. What the heck? What are we doing here? Were you just going to think that we were going to go this whole season and we weren't going to talk about this? We haven't texted about it. We haven't talked about it. Just, you know, in case you didn't know because you're not looking at our fantasy league and we obviously haven't talked about it. I smacked Ryan a couple weeks ago in the Dynasty Fantasy League. True. How are you feeling, buddy? Are you okay?
Is everything all right? I started slow in a lot of leagues this year, but I'm kind of like the Bills here. I started out really slow in week one. I'm starting to rebound week two, week three. My guys are starting to show some promise. They put that bad week behind them. But yeah, you definitely smacked me in fantasy football. I'm hoping for a rematch come playoff time.
Yeah, I'm hoping too, because I can use all the easy playoff matches that I can get. And so I'm looking forward to that as well, my friend. No, I'm just, we joke around here. All right, here's the question from the Air Raid guys. When Gabriel Davis is back to full strength, do we roll the Bills, morph 10 personnel, or keep rocking the 11 personnel that has been so successful? If we keep rolling 11, how does that affect everyone's snap share? And I definitely think that what we've seen these first 3 weeks now is that this is a win now season and they are going to lean on Emmanuel Sanders. I think that if you're talking about a situation where you're running out 3 wide receivers and everybody's healthy, Emmanuel Sanders most of the time is going to get those snaps. I'm not discounting the fact that they're going to have, you know, situations where they run out Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Gabriel Davis. But I think if you're asking me what the majority of those 11 personnel looks are going to look like, I think it's going to be Emmanuel Sanders getting the nod over Gabriel Davis, even when he's at 100%. Now, I think they're going to sprinkle in 10, and I want your reaction to this, and I'm going to see if I can get the actual splits up here in a second. I know Sharp Football does it, and it would be cool context here, but I think they're going to sprinkle in some 10, but I like the 11 options that you have in that personnel grouping. Number one, it puts Dawson Knox on the field, and I think he could be a mismatch, as we saw over the weekend. And it also gives you the option to run play action, even when you're in shotgun or pistol, that I think that Josh Allen has proven play action, even if they're not running the ball well in a game. I think it's been proven in the league now. You don't have to run the ball to run play action. I think it immediately makes the defense stop for a second. And usually against this offense's passing attack, they're able to get something going based on those quick hitch reactions by the defense.
Yeah, that quick little pause that defenders have to make when you see the play action or you see what you believe could be a handoff, that's just enough for Josh Allen to fire in a pass to Cole Beasley or fire in a pass, a quick pass to Dawson Knox, whomever it may be. So I agree with you. I think that 11 personnel is still the way they're going to go for the majority of the time. Now, mind you, the matchups that they see, if they see there's a weaker secondary, if there's a team that doesn't have a pass rush where they feel like, okay, maybe we don't need a back in the backfield to protect Josh Allen or stay in as an additional blocker. Maybe then you can get a little more multiple, get more of your wide receivers out there. But like you said, this is a championship window, and you want to get your guys out there that are going to give you that best opportunity. And that's Emmanuel Sanders, that's Stephon Diggs. But the beauty of some of these players, like an Emmanuel Sanders, Matt, is maybe the Bills start going, keeping their guys fresh as the year goes on. You can kick Sanders inside the slot, have Cole Beasley take a breather on the sideline from time to time. Then all of a sudden, Sanders in the slot, Diggs on one side, maybe you get Gabriel Davis out there. They can mix and match players in and out, keep guys fresh, especially late in the year, because we know what happened in that AFC Championship game. Stephon Diggs, torn oblique, Gabriel Davis, a serious ankle injury that made him essentially a game-time decision. And the list went on and on. They were so banged up. Cole Beasley, broken leg, obviously. So they were so banged up at that point in the championship game that they were already behind the eight ball. If they can keep guys fresh, keep one another healthy, there's things that they can do in that 11 personnel where you're going to have Sanders out there the majority of the time, but maybe you do kick him inside at one point, get Beasley off the field so Davis can get some reps, and the list goes on and on there. So I agree with you on that. 11 personnel is what works. It allows you to use the play action, and what we've seen from Dawson Knox so far is so promising. You want to see that role stay about where it's at and maybe even get larger as the year goes on.
Last year, I think the Bills were only second to Arizona. And I know coming out of the gates, they used a lot of 10. They even used some wide receivers in there at times. And I think that they're not so much in bulk in you know, using it, throwing it a lot of the time. It's catching the defense off guard and picking your poison, picking the time you want to run it. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes moving forward. We'll take some more of those questions as we move along. But one thing I want to get into before we move on too quickly here, there was a question too on Josh Allen. Let's go to him next. But before we do that, let's go to the offensive line, because I think that, you know, you look at a game and, you know, Josh Allen doesn't get sacked one single time. And then you go back and watch the tape and you say, okay, first things first, my first takeaway from watching that game over, Deion Dawkins looks like he's back. He was outstanding. I thought that he did a great job. He looked quicker. He looked quicker to the spot. And I think that that's showing you that the conditioning level is getting up there. And, you know, I've loved the way that he's handled it, even, you know, kind of owned the fact that the opener wasn't his best game, but he's worked his tail off to get back to this level. And he's looking like the guy that we've come to kind of gotten used to. But I think, you know, you've always started talking, there was one real problem area this week. It wasn't John Feliciano. It wasn't even Darrell Williams.
Yeah, no, it was Cody Ford. And, you know, when you watched the game live, you saw Washington get pressure. You saw someone collapse the pocket, make Josh Allen sidestep, step up in the pocket, roll out. But when you're watching live, you know, we're live tweeting the game, man. We're saying what Josh Allen did, what this offense is doing. You're not necessarily watching those one-on-one matchups on the offensive line versus defensive line. And that's what the rewatch is for. And when I watched that rewatch, it was Cody Ford, and he was getting beaten early and often and throughout that game. It was a rough outing. It was on par with what we saw from Deion Dawkins in week one, and that's not a good thing by any stretch of the imagination in terms of how often he was beat, how badly he was beat, the fact that he just seemed overwhelmed and overmatched. And listen, I've been a big proponent of Cody Ford getting an opportunity to show what he can do, and I thought he had one pretty good game. I thought he's been okay one game, and I thought this was a really rough outing. So I'm not sitting here advocating for the Bills to get rid of this guy or to pull him or to make some drastic changes over the offensive line, but it was not a promising outing whatsoever. What did you think of his performance?
He looked like his confidence level like abruptly dropped early in that game, and he was lunging a lot of the times. Like, I feel like if you're an offensive line, like it almost felt like he was moving in clay or quicksand, and he was just kind of like lunging at the guy, throwing his arms out and praying. And I think when you get in that kind of situation, you know, that's what tends to happen. You tend to, you know, fall forward and the guy blows past you. And we saw that over and over again with Ford during that game. You said you're not ready to move on from Cody Ford. I agree. I don't think the Bills should move on from him. But if this becomes a trend and we start seeing a couple games where he's like the weak link and he's struggling, you got Ike Bucker on the bench. You got Ryan Bates on the bench. You got Spencer Brown, who you drafted in the third round. How do you foresee this thing shaping up? And where do you feel like the most logical, like maybe ideal next step would be if they did decide to go in a different direction?
You know, that's a great question. And you mentioned a lot of names. You know, let me start with Ryan Bates. I almost feel like Ryan Bates' versatility hinders his ability to win a starting job on this team, because the Bills know, hey, if something happens to our center, if something happens to our guard, he can be that spot starter guy. He can come in and play, but it almost knocks him out of the running for starting contention. And maybe he's not as good as Cody Ford or Ike Butker, two guys that have started quite a bit over the last 2 years, Ford when he's been healthy, and then Butker, who took over for Ford last year after that injury. Maybe that is the case, but his versatility almost feel like hurts him in terms of getting that opportunity to start. If something were to happen, I think the logical choice would be Ike Butker. The Bills already know that he can start, that they can trust him, that he has that starting experience. If you start mixing and matching and moving players too much, I don't think that does a lot of good for the chemistry of the offensive line. I don't think it does much good if an injury pops up and then all of a sudden you're playing musical chairs all over again. For instance, you mentioned Spencer Brown. I would love to get Spencer Brown in at right tackle at some point this year, give him some really serious reps, because what we've seen in small doses have been pretty promising. He absolutely tossed a Washington defensive lineman last game on one of his reps out there. So I'd love to see him see his role expand, but that doesn't mean I want to see Darrell Williams get kicked inside to right guard and take over for Ford, because if Brown gets injured or if he's ineffective, then you're playing musical chairs again. And then just Ford come back. I want it to be pretty simple. If you're going to move Ford out, move Butker in or move Ryan Bates in or see what's out there, because listen, there's already teams wheeling and dealing. We saw CJ Henderson, a former top 10 pick, get dealt to Carolina. There's a running back in Indy, Mac, that is on the market. I believe it's Mac that's on the market for a trade. So maybe there's going to be one of these teams sooner rather than later that's already out of contention here in the next week or two. Maybe they're willing to move a guard, and maybe that interests Buffalo if they think this is a good fit for our team. What do you think?
First things first, I like that idea. Maybe going outside of the organization and bringing somebody in. You know, you saw Ian Rappaport tweet out yesterday that free agent Forrest Lamp, who had come to an injury settlement with the Bills, is now fully healthy. He was dealing with a calf strain during camp, didn't get to see much of him. And I know that they were excited about the potential of him added into the competition. He comes back. He's also now fully vaccinated, so that isn't an issue for him. And maybe he's a guy that you get back here. He already has some familiarity with the system, running through training camp a little bit, getting to know Bobby Johnson and Brian Daboll. And maybe you take a shot with him. And that intrigues me a little bit. But, you know, I do think that they have faith in the guys that they have in the room. I think that they saw a lot from Ike Butker last year that makes them confident that no matter what happens at guard, whether it be an injury to John Feliciano or Cody Ford, perhaps right now as we sit here, they have confidence in him. But, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me, you know, you said you're maybe not so on the train of moving Darrell Williams inside. And I got to be honest with you, going back to the summer when we heard certain people mentioning that, I was like, man, what are you guys talking about? Like, the guy was, you know, a really top tier right tackle last year. But the way that he struggled early on, and he bounced back this week, and he could be a really good right tackle when he's plugged in, he's playing at a high level. But if you think that Spencer Brown is ready, I have no problem with upgrading your right guard spot, because I think Darrell Williams, just because of the player that he is, even inside at guard, is an upgrade over Cody Ford. And you think that Cody Ford is going to be a problem, then I think getting Spencer Brown on the field, I think that's what we've been talking about since training camp, Ryan. How are you going to get to a point where Spencer Brown actually gets to play? Now, before the Chicago game, I think the thought was he might not be ready, but then he came out and looked absolutely incredible, to the point where he was the offensive version of Greg Rousseau. I mean, that's how much you want to kind of see him now in this setting. So, yeah, I think that getting him on the field, if you think that he's ready, it becomes pretty interesting. But who knows what they're going to do? I mean, I would probably, you know, err on the side of giving Cody Ford a little bit more runway, because to this point, Ryan, it's still been a problem. He's never had a honest to goodness run at a position, and we're only 3 games into this. He could come back out next week, or who knows, maybe even 2 weeks, and have a huge game against Kansas City in a tough spot. So that's where I'm at.
No, I agree. And listen, Cody Ford, like you said, he's had the carpet pulled out on him a few times. He's had some bad luck with injuries. So I'll give him a little bit more runway, like you said. Real quick on Forrest Lamp. I don't know if I actually ended up retweeting that article or not, or that tweet from Ian Rappaport, but literally the first reply to it that I saw was, get Bobby Hart off the practice squad and give that spot to Forrest Lamp. So fans are, you know, some Bills fans are definitely ready to bring Lamp back into the fold here if the Bills are interested. It would be interesting to see, obviously, two different players there in positions, Hart playing tackle, Lamp playing inside, and last but not least on Spencer Brown. You know, I'm all for easing these young guys, and especially tackle. I think tackle is one of the hardest positions for a rookie to come in and play, especially, you know, big snap counts and things like that. But with the Bills having Darrell Williams, it wouldn't hurt if you could get him a handful of snaps these next few weeks and then increase it in the middle of the year to maybe 10 snaps per game and keep increasing that role. So that way, come playoff time, if something happens, he's ready to roll. It's not like, what are we going to get out of this guy? And then come 2022, maybe this guy's ready to compete and win that starting job.
Yeah, I mean, some people are bringing up Quentin Spain here in the chat. Some of John Herrick says should have never let Quentin Spain walk. Like, I think he had his struggles at times. I thought he was really good and solid for them at 2019. But, you know, there's offensive line. As we sit here and look at it right now, I think that the way that John Feliciano has responded in his play the last two games really solidifies at least one of those guard spots. And I think he could flip back and forth. I don't think there's a difference between him being at right guard, him being at left guard. I think they could do it. I think if they come to a situation where, you know, they move to a, you know, getting Ike Butker in the mix, I think it's just putting John wherever you think Ike is going to be most comfortable. So if that's at left guard where he played most of last year, I think John can pretty seamlessly move back to the right side. But, you know, the one guy we haven't talked about has probably been the Bills' best offensive lineman through three games, Mitch Morse, earning every one of those dollars. Listen, you go back to last year and there were some real question marks about Mitch Morse and if he was going to be brought back this year, you know, if they wanted to maybe move in a different direction, you know, that kind of weird benching after he had the concussion, or maybe it wasn't a benching, but you know, Mitch Morse has been outstanding today. And I asked him, I said, or I know you're not going to answer this period, but I got to say, you might have had your best three game stretch of your Bills career to start this season. What's been going so well for you? And he completely like deflected it. And he said, well, thank you, but I almost feel like I have a lot of work still to do. And you know, you're always going to get that reaction. But from what I've just seen watching him play, Ryan, they're getting really high level play at the center position, most importantly in pass protection.
Yeah, real quick on the Quentin Spain thing. Listen, Quentin Spain, you know, the Bills didn't have much choice there. Spain kind of played his way out of Buffalo, and we'll leave it at that. It's in the past now, but the Bills didn't have much option there. With Mitch Morse, the best thing an offensive lineman can do, Matt, is not have their name brought up on the television broadcast. And I can tell you right now, I think maybe Mitch Morse's name has been brought up once in three games. That goes to show you, this is maybe his best three-game stretch, like you mentioned, as a member of the Buffalo Bills. He's someone that has built that rapport, that chemistry with Josh. When he was brought in, it was to help bring along a young quarterback, like he did with Patrick Mahomes to a certain extent in Kansas City. Yes, the concussions are scary. Yes, it's something that in the immediate future, in the near future, you want to have someone waiting in the wings. But at the same time, you don't want to get a guy off the field that's playing some of the best football of his career. So, you know, be appreciative of what he's doing right now. Understand the fact that, like you said, he's been the most consistent guy for this unit. He's done a great job getting out and blocking. And the Bills are really lucky to have this guy in the middle of their offensive line.
From hot to go pizza and appetizers, signature fried chicken, baby back ribs and subs, to delicious salads and brownie trays, Tops has everything you need to feed the hungriest fan. Get over to Tops any night this week, but especially this weekend when the games begin again.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
Bills are going to be playing the Houston Texans. We'll get into that a little bit more in depth on Friday when we preview that game. We got a bunch of questions here and a little mailbag that we did before the show. Let's go to Cole Shelton, who is actually a writer for BJPenn.com. Must be a connection from my former life. How much has next week's game against Kansas City lost its hype slash appeal question mark. This was supposed to be a big test for Buffalo to test itself against the best, but KC hasn't shown to be that. I think we got to pump the brakes here a little bit.
Yeah.
KC slander. Okay. That's first and foremost. Listen, I think the Bills are in a position. And one of the things that I put in, and this would be like a good combo topic here. You know, I really think that after 3 weeks, you have a really good idea of who teams are in this league, enough to make to start really making prognostications. Like, you know, everybody before the season puts out their Super Bowl picks and their playoff picks. I'm not about that, man. Like, I like seeing some football and seeing who these teams are going to be, how they respond to adversity, and then kind of making that pick. So I'm sitting here right now and I'm telling you, I'm picking the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, right? So that's without like, that's a pick. That's a, I'm placing the, you know, the chips on the table, if you will. And I'll tell you, I saw enough from Green Bay the other day. I'm going with the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be motivated to take that Packers team to the Super Bowl. And I know that there's teams in the NFC. I mean, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I think they're going to get healthy. They're going to get right. I think they're going to go into New England this week and put a hurting on Billy Belichick's boys in Foxborough. I think this is a good question to really start to, you know, talk about where Kansas City sits. They go out and they bring in Josh Gordon. And I was talking, I went on Howard Simon and I said, to me, this doesn't seem like a move that takes their offense to the next level. To me, it's kind of a desperation move for a guy who hasn't even been good since 2013. With all that said, Ryan, the original point, I still think Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes behind center at quarterback, this is not going to be a game that loses any of its hype. They can lose this week. The Bills can win this week, and it could be 3-1 versus 1-3, and it's still going to be this. You know, what were they? The Twin Towers back in the day? Earthquake and Typhoon? Was that the tag team?
Natural disasters, Matt. Twin Towers. Get out of here! Don't bring up early '90s wrestling and tell me the wrong team name. Come on, man. No,
the natural disasters.
That's right. I am impressed though with Earthquake and Typhoon, formerly Tugboat. All right, real quick. Kansas City Chiefs, zero, you know, nothing's been lost in terms of the appeal of this game. This is still the measuring stick game for the Buffalo Bills. Look at how they've lost this year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles the ball as they're driving to kind of put that game away or to get themselves a situation to win that game. You go to last week, you have the Chargers, and I love the call, don't get me wrong. Go for it on 4th and 4 and then 4th and 9 after a penalty to kind of say, listen, we're not going to try to kick a long field goal. We're not going to do this. We're going for a touchdown. We're trying to make it so that way they have to march the entire field, tie it to win it, whatever the case may be. So teams have been really aggressive against them. You saw it even in that Cleveland game. They know that this Chiefs offense can score at will. They know that that defense has some absolute issues. Do not get me wrong. But for the Bills, this is a huge measuring stick game. Look at Buffalo's defense this year. They better come out with a huge chip on their shoulder for that matchup, because you go back to the playoff game. There was one punt in that game by Kansas City, and the only reason they punted the ball was because Tyreek Hill dropped a 30-yard dime right out of his hands on a third down play. Every other time, Kansas City marched up and down the field and scored on Buffalo. So the Bills won. The defense still wants to come out and prove that they can slow this team down. Two, the offense has to show that, hey, listen, last year, three of our top guys were injured. We can go toe-to-toe in a shootout with this team. So like you said, I don't care if the Bills win by 50 this week and Kansas City loses. It is a huge matchup for the Bills against Kansas City, and it's all eyes are going to be watching in that nationally broadcast game.
Yeah, and for me, the people that I'm going to highlight that week, I mean, I know we talk so much today with everybody about this potentially being a trap game. I don't believe in trap games. Like, if you don't show up to play, like that Minnesota Vikings team that lost to the Bills a couple of years ago, they just weren't that good in the end. I mean, bad teams lose in trap games. If you lose a trap game, in my opinion, you don't get to enter that Super Bowl contender conversation at any other point of the season. This is a Houston Texans team. Davis Mills, he's not very good. And it's funny because Sean McDermott said today, you know, he was asked about Mills. I think I might have asked him. And he's like, yeah, he can make all the throws. And I feel like that's the go-to stock line for any coach talking about a player that's just blah. You know what I mean? He can make all the throws. I watched him last week. I watched him against the Carolina Panthers. And as of right now, from his NFL highlight reel, he cannot make all the throws. And if he can, they're scared to death to let him. And actually, David Culley said this week that, you know, maybe I got to take, you know, the training wheels off a little bit. I'm paraphrasing there, obviously. But he basically said, I got to let him go a little bit more this week. Well, the problem with that, Ryan, is you let him go a little bit more and Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, Matt Milano, and Taron Johnson. Dude, I mean, there's ton. And by the way, the guy that everybody likes to bang on, Tremaine Edmonds, who I think has actually been one of their really stout, you know, coverage players so far this season. I think he's been really good in coverage, an area where so many people have banged on him in the past. And I know people want the splash plays, the tackles for a loss. I get it. But I think Tremaine Edmonds is doing certain things that people are overlooking. And I just think that it's just become kind of a fun thing to kind of bag on the guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, speaking of Houston, we're going to have a preview show on Friday night, ladies and gents, because I see some people saying, why aren't you talking more about this Kansas City defense? We will, or Kansas City, Houston defense. We will on Friday. We promise. We'll get into the details there. But yeah, they said they're going to open up the game for Davis Mills, whatever that may mean. But you mentioned it. This defense will be licking their chops if that means they're going to put the ball in his hands more. That defensive line is going to look to get out there and get some pressure on him. Epineza and Greg Rousseau and company. So I think the defense welcomes Houston opening up the offense for Davis Mills. I will say one thing. Through the first week and a half, and mind you, it's a very small sample size, I thought that Houston's offense with Tyrod Taylor was moving the ball pretty well. They looked really good in week one against Jacksonville. They were going toe-to-toe with the Cleveland Browns before he left that game with an injury. So, you know, there's more talent there than I think a lot of people expected overall. But Davis Mills has to be able to get the ball to those playmakers and to those players. And the running backs are going to have to create some lanes where I think Buffalo is going to, you know, dare them to run the ball a little bit. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that all unfolds. But, you know, I really think that when all is said and done, the Bills match up so well against the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm. Man, Brandon Cooks, watching that guy play, you know what I think? I think he's like a really good version of John Brown. I think he does a lot more. I almost kind of envision what this offense would have been last year. And I know he's had his struggles staying healthy as well. But man, him paired with Stephon Diggs last year in this offense, you know, or even, you know, had they not gone out and got Emmanuel Sanders, like cutting a trade and bringing in a guy like Cooks, like, man, that could be totally special. But that's kind of beside the point. Some people talking about Houston's defense right now. I think their secondary is a bit of an issue too. And I think if they're able to generate some pass rush, I know Whitney Mercilus is a really good player. And you know, listen, on the Shout Football podcast, we give the people what they want. You want a little Houston right now? I'll give you a little Houston right now. And, you know, because I think that there are going to be challenges and how they scheme things up against Josh Allen, I think is going to be interesting. I don't think that they have the horses in their secondary to cover these wide receivers. And I think Stephon Diggs, for as politically correct as he was today talking about all of this, you know, he wants to get out there and make some plays. And I think that in front of the home crowd against the Houston Texans, he's going to want to go out there and do that on Sunday.
Yeah, I think, like I said, this is a big opportunity for him to have a game where he goes off and has a nice statistical performance. And, you know, we mentioned last week, we thought last week was a get right game for Josh Allen. And sure enough, it proved to be the case. I think not a get right game for Stephon Diggs, but a, hey, don't forget about me type game where he's going to have maybe 150 and a score when all is said and done. Because this is a team that he can absolutely put up a lot of stats against, record a lot of receptions, make some big plays in that passing game, and the list goes on and on. So I think this is going to be a great game for him as well. Matt, there was actually a fun question in the mailbag that I want to ask you. You ready for it? Who on the team is most likely to win the lottery but then lose the ticket?
Ooh, wow. That's going to get me in some trouble. That's not fun. That's a trouble starter right there. All right. You know, that's a good question.
You want me to go first? I have my answer locked and loaded. I'm going to go with Isaiah McKenzie because the wind's going to take it and drop it straight down in front of him. So he's going to, I'm sorry. I just can't. After last week's game, I've watched that kickoff so many times. I still don't know what happened there. I know he's inexperienced in this role. I still think he could have come up and made a play on that. I think that's just part of not, you know, being used to being the return man. But that's why I kind of had to make that little jab there. But yeah, I'll go with Isaiah McKenzie.
So wait a second. Why did you say I can't? I missed that there.
I feel bad for the guy because he doesn't have a ton of experience in Buffalo doing this. It was Andre Roberts' job for the last few years. So I feel guilty. The wind, I think, was a legit factor, but I have watched that play so many times. I think that a more experienced guy would have still been able to run up and make a play on that ball. So when I saw that question, I'm like, Isaiah McKenzie, he has the ticket, but then the wind brings it straight down and he loses it.
I'm going to go with Tremaine Edmonds because, man, I've not seen a player as much as I'll stick up for him. I have to say, when a ball is coming to him, actually catching it and intercepting it. So I think if a guy was going to ever get a lottery ticket and then, drop it, maybe that'll be Tremaine Edmonds. Another question in the mailbag was, what's your favorite throwback ever? Your favorite NFL throwback jersey? Do you have one?
Oh yeah, I do, and it's not a Bills jersey.
You're ready to go.
It's the powder blue Chargers jerseys. I have always loved those jerseys. I was very tempted as a teenager. How old would I have been? LaDainian Tomlinson, like 2001.
Yeah,
I would have been still relatively young there, high school. I wanted to get it one of those baby blue Chargers jerseys of Tomlinson back in the day, just because I loved the jerseys, and I really respected LT as a player as well, but. Those are my favorite jerseys of all time. What about you, Matt?
I got it. I'm bringing it in right now. I'm going to show it on the screen. Look at that, Ryan Talbot. Look at that. Doesn't that not bring you back to just better days? Now, this isn't the real truth or anything. I think this is Jameis Winston. So they wore the throwbacks. The original creamsicles were like just beautiful.
So, I mean, we both have like, no, I get it. You have the creamsicle, I have the powder blue, so I get it. There's something about those colors there. I do see a few people agreeing with the Chargers. You know, I love it. The Bills had some pretty nice throwbacks as well, but they're just not my favorite of all time.
With that in mind, why don't we bring in Sarah Holland now? She's going to bring in a couple things. There's been some chatter in the comments. They've been some great discussions. Sarah, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. Sarah is a full-time student at the University of Buffalo, and she's also what's your other gig now? I seen it's it kicked off this week. What do you got going on?
Yeah, so I'm doing some sideline work with the UB club hockey team. So they have their first game on Friday, which is pretty exciting.
That's awesome. So she's literally just like, she's got her hand in a little bit of everything right now. She's been doing some Bills stuff. She's got the hockey stuff going on. Now, you grew up, like you told everybody last week, a Washington sports fan. So I know you're excited for hockey season to get started in your Capitals. Don't tell the Sabres fans because they'll get upset. But all right, bring in the first topic from, you can either go with the chat or we're going to bring one of the stories that we just put up on the site.
All right, I will go with the story because it was honestly, I was super interested in reading it. Matt wrote a wonderful story. You can check it out on Syracuse.com or New York Upstate. And it's about the Texans head coach, David Culley, returning to Western New York. He was a quarterback coach for the Bills in 2017 and 2019. And he's coming back to Buffalo. And he included a pretty funny quote in the article Matt did Culley said that when he comes back to Buffalo, he's coming back to whip their butts. I actually, laughed when I read that. And obviously the Texans are huge underdogs coming into this game. So I kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about, Culley returning to a team that he's familiar with.
I think Culley he's an interesting guy. Like I still am flabbergasted that he got the job over Leslie Frazier. This is a guy that has never been an NFL coordinator. And, I know that Leslie Frazier struggled a little bit in Minnesota, but he's a guy that, has been so influential, in developing this Buffalo Bills defense. And he's a guy that I think guys want to play for. And just even hearing David Culley today talk, like in this, if you go to this and read the article, you can go to the video interview that the Texans media team put out, and hearing Culley talk about his experience in Buffalo, and it almost like he knows how to build what the Bills have built because he was around at the beginning. And I'm kind of just like, pump the brakes here, Dave.
Okay. Like you were here, at, you know, during Josh Allen's rookie season and things did not go great. And I feel like it's probably a blessing in disguise that he did kind of take a promotion to Baltimore. They let him be, I think it was an assistant head coach or a passing game coordinator. I can't remember the exact title, but things went better after David Culley wasn't here. And so I think that for him to say that, you know, he, I think that the loosely paraphrasing here, he basically said, I've seen it before. And that's how I know what we're building here is going to be what where the Bills are now. And it's just kind of sitting there like, have we had our head in sands all in the sand all off season? Is Deshaun Watson still getting paid not to play football for the Houston Texans? Listen, I get trying to, you know, put on a brave face and put on a good, you know, PR slant on things. But man, I just think the guy is a little bit clueless, but we'll see. Maybe he'll come in this weekend. He'll have his guys ready to play. And Sean McDermott said it. Hey, if you're not ready to play, you're going to get your ass kicked. Little language so, yeah. From Mr. McDermott today.
Yeah. You know, I chuckled when David Culley said they're going to whip their Buffalo's butts and things like, it's like the Washington Generals saying we're going to whip the butts of the Harlem Globetrotters. And it's the team that they've lost to like 16,000 times. It's like Barry Horowitz saying that he's going to whip the Ultimate Warriors, but I'm bringing in a lot of 90s wrestling here, Sarah. I'm very sorry. You're so young. You're like, who are these guys? Ponderosa now, Barry Horowitz. You're going to be Googling a lot of stuff with this show, but you know, you just have to sit there and chuckle because you look at that roster. You don't want to overlook a team ever, but I just don't see a scenario where that team comes into Buffalo and really takes it to the Bills. Do I think it could be closer than that point spread? Yes, absolutely. But I just don't see a shocking upset like that happening this weekend.
Well, I did actually also see some more questions in the chat about Vernon Butler. And I wanted to bring that in really quick because it was talked a lot about frequently in the beginning, and I saw a lot of mixed emotions about his play so far, many contradicting opinions. So I wanted to hear your guys' opinions on that.
Yeah, I think he's been fine. I think he's had moments where he's been good. I think Leslie talking about how good the Bills' run defense has been, I think Vernon's had a pretty decent little hand in that. He's not going to flash necessarily. Even going back to the 1 year that he had the sacks, I think that earned him the contract. You know, you go back and watch him in games and it's, he doesn't jump off the screen at you, but he does a lot of the little things that right now, you know, people in the comments talking about Leslie Frazier building the, you know, the 85 Bears defense here with the Bills. Well, I do think that they have a pretty good grasp on their personnel and what works and what doesn't. And I thought something interesting happened the other day, Ryan, like when Sean was asked about Zach Moss and how he handled being inactive the 1 week. And Sean basically said it wasn't a direct message. It wasn't something we were going out of our way. I do think that there was a numbers element to that equation that forced their hand with Moss. But he said in an indirect way, he was kind of glad that maybe it sent a message that you're not guaranteed a jersey on game days and you got to come in and you got to show up. And I think that that might be what's indirectly happening with Harrison Phillips in a contract year, that when he does finally, I thought Justin Zimmer probably had his most blah game of the season last week. I thought he wasn't as effective. I didn't notice him in the defensive backfield. I almost feel like Justin Zimmer, a lot of ways as a pass rusher, he feeds off other guys around him having success. And when guys aren't, like I thought Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes were really underwhelming on the rewatch, Justin Zimmer just isn't as effective. So I think Harrison Phillips might be in line for maybe an activation, whether it's this week or maybe against the Chiefs, we'll see. But he's going to have to take full advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, and again, you know, Butler's been fine. Justin Zimmer, I think he's been good for the most part. But like you said, this last game, he didn't jump off the page. You obviously already have Star Latulele and Oliver as your starters. So it's just, you know, there's only so many jobs to go around. But the fact that the Bills are still playing Vernon over a Harrison Phillips, that kind of tells you all you need to know about what they feel about him and the matchups that they've had so far. So he's not going to be someone that jumps off the page on a week-by-week basis. He might have a nice game here and there. He's just, you know, part of the rotation. He's not anyone that you're going to get too excited about. I know he's a former first round pick, but he's just not a game changer by any stretch of the imagination.
Sarah, did you want to go somebody else?
Yes. I also saw a lot of comments again earlier in the chat about the lack of play that Boogie Basham has had. So if you guys want to go off that and just talk a little bit more about, you know, why he hasn't really seen the field so far this season.
I think we've covered this plenty of times. I know people are, I think they want to get their dance shoes on. Like this is about the time in Western New York, in Buffalo, I think the world's biggest disco, right? Do they do that in town here? So I think people you know, they're getting hyped up. You know, Halloween's in the air, fall's in the air. People want to, you know, maybe it's like a dancing thing. I don't know. But we've told you over and over again, Boogie Basham, where he is at the depth chart, where he is in his development, he's not going to get Greg Rousseau's spot. He's not going to get AJ Epenesa's spot. And so if those spots aren't available, he's not going to, you know, healthy scratch Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison even after a bad game. So there's not enough numbers yet for him.
100%. That's perfectly said. Even look at what happened to F.A. Obada. F.A. Obada suffers an injury in practice right before the Game 2 matchup, and he's inactive for that game. It's like, well, he suffered the injury on Friday. He'll probably be ready to go week 3. Well, he was inactive week 3 because of all the pressure probably that A.J. Epenesa had, the fact that Greg Rousseau had 2 sacks, that Hughes and Addison were playing well. So even now, in addition to Boogie, you have F.A. Obada, who's in front of him, who's not getting on the field. It's a good problem to have, Bills fans. I know you want to see these players on the field, but it means, one, the Bills are healthy, and two, they have players that they feel are better right now ahead of them who they want to see get the lion's share of those reps.
One question that from Dave on Twitter was, why is the team continuing to protect only 3 practice squad players? And I think the answer there is just that it's a numbers game, and they don't feel the need to protect more than that. Who was Cam Lewis one of the protections this last week here?
I just shared. Yeah. Cam Lewis, Josh Thomas, and I'm blanking on the third right now.
Jameel Douglas, right?
Jameel Douglas. So they've been going with 3 for a few weeks now.
And to me, that's the group. I think if Jack Anderson was still in this roster, he'd get a protection as well. But I don't know if there's a lot of fear that the Bills, if they lose anybody else on their practice squad there. They got some pretty good numbers at a lot of key positions, and I think it just comes down to that, Ryan.
Yeah, and you know, listen, I'm not saying there's strategy involved with it either, but you look at these teams that are protecting 4 guys later in the year, one of those players will come off that protection list because of injuries or some other reason, and maybe a team will sit there and say, you know, they protected this guy for 8 weeks. There might be he might be worth kicking the tires on, bringing in, taking a look at them. If you're a team like the Jets, if you're a team that's looking to build up your roster, improve your talent. And I don't know how, you know, that's just me speculating. I just think maybe there's something with that. And the Bills are like, well, you know, here's the 3 guys that we're protecting. There's a safety that we really like. He was really good. The Bills obviously have a lot of safety depth. Cam Lewis, I think, is a legit protection. They know that they're 1 injury away from needing him. And then Jameel Douglas, who didn't wow us in training camp or the preseason, still has a lot of experience in the NFL. Someone that you want to protect, make sure that you have waiting in the wings in case you need them.
All right, everybody, we're going to get out of here before we get it to this 1 hour mark. We are going to be back on Friday for our official Houston Texans preview show. Take a little bit of a deeper look at that opponent. And we will also bring you more coverage from Orchard Park. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to some more people at the facility tomorrow. Are you hosting a large party this weekend? Check out Topps' huge selection of party platters for a delicious, effortless, and affordable, no-stress way to impress. For complete details, stop by their carryout cafe or visit topsmarkets.com/fantasyfoodball. You guys were awesome tonight. Thank you so much. For Ryan Talbot, Sarah Holland, I am Matt Perino. We will see you on Friday. Take care, everyone.
Shout, a Buffalo Football Podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.